And I'm so glad you're here, and I've been just so glad to be here. And tonight I've got a real burden on my heart to try to say something to your heart, and I don't really have the ability to do that. But I hope the Lord will do that, and I hope you'll allow him to do that. It's what I would call the missing ingredient in much of our missionary activity and in our church and in our hearts. I think there can be a missing ingredient for missions. Maybe we just overlook it, but it's such a priority. And I want you to join me in the missionary book of the New Testament, as I like to call it, the book of Acts. And if you would go over to Acts chapter 13, which is the first time we find missionaries being sent out of a local church, a missionary team. And I want you to observe something. We're going to be in chapter 13 and chapter 16. If it was not for Acts 13 and Acts 16, I doubt very seriously you would be here tonight. Aren't you glad the church didn't just stay in the Middle East? And somebody had to be a missionary for it not to stay in the Middle East. And in Acts chapter 13 is the first mention of the missionary team being sent out. And then in Acts chapter 16 is going to be the first time a missionary is going to come to the European continent, which is going to result in most of our heritage receiving the light of the gospel of Christ. And I want you to notice an ingredient that is here in these texts, and we'll pray and ask God to help us to have this ingredient in our lives. Acts 13, verse 1, the Bible says, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers," verse 2, "as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, what's the next two words? The Holy Ghost said, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the what? Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus." The church was doing wonderful in Antioch. Ministry was going on, prophets and teachers. But the Holy Ghost was not satisfied with the things of God staying in Antioch. In chapter 16, as these missionary teams continue, they move into the continents that most of us get reached through in verse number 6 of Acts 16. I want you to look again. The Bible says, "Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the," what's the two words? "Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the," what? "Spirit suffered them not. And they passing by Mysia came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them." Heavenly Father, Lord, I don't want to just preach another missions conference message. And Lord, I pray that you would touch us with your spirit And may that ingredient of missions be found in us. Would you help this church? Would you help every individual child of God, Lord, to be yielded to the Holy Ghost so that your will would be done and your work would be accomplished. And Lord, we'll praise you and thank you and give you the credit and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You know how big of a difference the Holy Ghost makes? You know that the Bible says in the matter of salvation is if you're sitting here saved, the difference that's been made in you was made by the Holy Ghost because you had to be born of the Spirit. In other words, it was not just the fact that we assented unto certain doctrinal or theological truths of the Bible. The thing that has changed us, if you have been changed in your life, if you've been saved by the grace of God, it's not just been a pattern of life that you started living or a series of things that you started believing, but when you were saved by the grace of God, the Holy Ghost moved into your body and began to change things. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And when our bodies become the temple of the Holy Ghost, things start changing. We don't even have to manufacture it. It's on the inside. Heaven comes down and glory fills us. Born of the Spirit from life from above into God's family divine. Salvation is not just a transaction. It's also an indwelling. The Holy Ghost comes to live inside our body. The Bible says he sheds abroad love in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which he's given to us. The only reason that I love is because God put the Holy Ghost in me and love was placed in me. All those things that come with salvation, have you thought about them? They're attributes that the Spirit of God has wrought fruitfully in our lives. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. And all those things that encompass the Christian life are not things that we have arrived at or things that we have attained unto, but things that are brought into our life that the Holy Ghost has made the difference because God is living in my body. You see that? A change in me. I can go through the motions of the Christian life, but without the Spirit of God, there is no difference. You understand? There is no reality. There's no realness. I mean, come on. You know, anybody can come sit in a church. Anybody can even espouse the things we believe. The Bible says the devils believe. I mean, there have been people. Hey, don't tell me that Judas didn't believe the Bible. Don't tell me that you understand, he had that knowledge. It wasn't the motion, but he wasn't born again. He didn't have the Spirit of God. He was a devil. What makes the difference? Boy, I've seen it, haven't you? I was out there at the Navajo Reservation. Man, I saw people getting saved out there. Brother Knox and I were both preaching out there, and one night I got to preaching, all these people coming, getting saved. I thought, man, what in the world? And people that were drunks. There's one guy back there. He had killed somebody. God can save a murderer and change his life, and a drunk and change. And that there are women out there that had been molested and raped, and their life had been. And they're up there smiling and happy and say, what made the difference? The Holy Ghost in their heart.
Yep.
He made the difference. In this text, it's going to be the Holy Ghost that makes the difference of whether somebody's going to get the gospel. Let's start all the way to the beginning here in Acts. You know the verses, but I want you to see them. Would you look at Acts 1? You know, God just doesn't want me to witness. He doesn't want me just to go through the motions of witnessing. He wants me to witness. Some of us don't even do that very well. God just doesn't want me to sing. God wants me to do what I do by the Holy Ghost of God. Acts 1:8, look at it right there in your Bible. But ye shall receive power. After that, the what? The Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be what? What came first? Why do we think we can do the witnessing without the Holy Ghost? The power of witnessing, what makes the difference in the witnessing is the Holy Ghost being involved and the Holy Ghost being in control. That's why Jesus told him, he said, I want you to tarry there until you be endued with power from on high. You need a difference maker to come on the inside so he will energize what you're doing and it'll make all the difference in what you're doing. Yeah, amen. The Spirit of God is behind it. The power of the Spirit of God. The Apostle Paul said, When I came and preached to you people, I didn't come in the enticing words of man's wisdom. I didn't come with a fancy sermon. I didn't have the oratory. It wasn't my intellect. It wasn't my wonderful sermon outline. It was not my personality. But when I came and preached to you, I came and preached in the demonstration of the power of the Spirit of God. And what made the difference in Paul's ministry and his preaching was not that he was so smart and was not that he had it all figured out. The difference maker was the fact the Holy Ghost energized what he was doing. Yeah, that made the difference. Yep. In Acts chapter 4, the whole church is gathered. God has a great task for them to do. But they need a difference maker in their life. They need a difference maker in their church. And they don't just need to pray. They need something more than just prayer. Look at verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the what? The Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with what? The boldness was an outflow of the Spirit of God that had filled them, just like the power was an outflow of the Spirit of God that had filled them. The difference maker, the boldness maker, the power difference maker was the Holy Ghost. It was not their ability. Look at chapter 7. Chapter 7 is a pivotal chapter, one of the pivotal chapters in the book of Acts, because this is going to be one of the difference makers in the one that's going to complete the rest of the book of Acts as God's missionary, even to the Gentile world, the Apostle Paul. And in chapter 7, as they're stoning Stephen, and Saul is there, and he's a party to it, the Bible says in verse number 55 of Acts 7, but he being full of the who? The Holy Ghost looked up steadfastly unto heaven and saw the glory of God. And Saul is right there in verse number 58. And what I really believe in my heart, it was not just the fact of a man dying that made the difference in Saul. It was the fact that he watched a man die full of the Holy Ghost and he never could get away from it. And even when he wrote later in life, he was talking about, you know, your martyr Stephen. I think what made the difference in Saul's heart He couldn't get away from that. He met a man that stood in the power of the Holy Ghost, and it made all the difference in the world in forming a missionary. Look at Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, what a story about the Ethiopian eunuch, and what a wonderful missionary message. Here's an Ethiopian man that needs the gospel. How is he going to get the gospel? Look at verse 29 of Acts chapter 8. Acts 8, 29. Then the, what's the word? The Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. It wasn't his idea. It wasn't his plan. It was the Spirit on a man telling that man to go to this other man. And it made all the difference that he listened to the Spirit. Look on down to verse number 39. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. Philip is being controlled and led by the Spirit of God in his work in reaching these people that need God. Look at chapter 10. Chapter 10. Oh, what a... In chapter 10 and 11, oh, what pivotal chapters. Here is where the gospel is open to the Gentiles. That's what you are, amen. If you know, before Christ, we're Gentile. Now we're neither Jew nor Gentile, but these are people outside of the Jew. You know, he said to the Jew first and then also the Greek. And now finally, you know, the early church wasn't even going to the Gentiles. You know, you think about that just a moment. What if we say, you know what? There's parts of the world we're just not going to go to. Wouldn't that be awful? It'd be awful if you lived in that part of the world. It'd be awful for your children, your grandchildren. The early church wasn't going to the Gentile world. They weren't. And we see here, here's a Gentile in Acts chapter 10. His name is Cornelius. He's of the Italian band. And he needs the gospel. And the Bible says that God basically has to knock Peter upside the head, and Peter starts arguing with God about what God's telling, because he don't want to do what God told him to do. But he does. And then Acts chapter 11, he gets with the rest of the church and they're mad at him because he's preached to the Gentile and been a missionary. And look what he says to them. Look, Acts chapter 11. Watch this now. Acts chapter 11 and verse number 12. He says this to them. And the, what's the word? Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. This wasn't my idea. This wasn't my plan. I didn't figure it out. It's the Spirit of God that told me to go to Cornelius. It was the Spirit of God that told me to preach to him. And who was I? I can't resist God. I can't fight against God. I'm just letting God lead me and control me. And it made all the difference. And if it had not been for the Spirit of God speaking to Peter and telling him what to do, and Peter listening to the Spirit of God, and Peter being led by the Spirit of God, the Gentiles would have not heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and your relatives wouldn't have got it. The difference maker, was not a seminary class. It wasn't a missions class. Right. It wasn't even a Bible study. Right. Yeah. It was the Holy Ghost telling a man, you need to go do something that you don't understand you need to do. Now go back to our text. Chapter 13. Here's what I'm convinced of, church. I know the Bible commandment that says, be filled with the Spirit. I know that commandment. But I think few of us are. I think few churches are filled with the Spirit. That doesn't mean they're not doctrinal. Guys, listen to me. I'm not talking about a doctrinal issue. I'm talking about a personal issue. The problem with reaching the world, I really believe this. The problem that we have to overcome with reaching the world is not really a theological one. It's a spiritual one. Why are we not sold out? Why do we not have power? Why are we not led? You can live the Christian life with the absence of the fullness of the Spirit of God. Matter of fact, it's a very tenuous thing being a spiritual Christian. Guys, you don't even have, listen. The average church, I'm sure it's not this one because you're the best church in Corpus. The average church, if the Holy Ghost wasn't there, they would never even know the difference. The average Christian, if the Spirit of God was not even in their life, they would go on like nothing, like everything's the same. Because there's no dependence upon Him anyway. There's no yieldedness to Him anyway. There's no filling of Him anyway. Are you filled with the Spirit of God? I didn't ask if you're saved. And by the way, we leak. You say, man, I've been close to the Lord before. Yeah, but you gotta get filled up again. It's gotta be constant.
Yes.
Every day you get up and you feel your belly again, don't you? Come on now. You don't get up in the morning and say, I had coffee 3 days this week. I don't need it this week. I ate Monday and Tuesday. I don't need to eat Wednesday and Thursday. No, you want to get full again. Oh, there needs to be a thirst and a hunger and a desire for the Spirit of God to fill my life and to control my life and to use me as His instrument and me be a vessel and Him live through me, not me live my life. There needs to be a touch. I thank God for the Bible as the bread of life, but oh, what a difference when there's oil on the bread. Do you understand? This is not just a rote thing. All right, let's send this missionary. Let's give money here. And then he'll preach here and he'll do this and he'll start a church and he'll run a bus route. And it's not that. It's not the mechanism. It needs to be the movement of the Spirit of God in our hearts. There's lots of missionaries. There's probably a few missionaries filled with the Spirit of God. That He has the control. Now, I told you to go back to our text in chapter 13. I want you to notice verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said. Do you see that? Matter of fact, all these verses I've been reading, the Spirit said to Philip, right? The Spirit said to Peter, right? Somebody said, well, that's spooky. No, it's not spooky. It's called the, you know, the Bible tells us that we're to walk in the Spirit. We're to be walking with God. That's not a one-way relationship. If Brother Bevins and his dear wife on their trip, they go walking through the airport on their way to their trip this week hand in hand. That's not just a one-way deal there. When you're walking with someone, there's some communication there. So how does the Spirit... You know what? Some people are so far away from God and the Holy Ghost is so odd and not even a thing in their life, but a doctrine that they're not even sensitive when the Spirit is speaking to them. This is elementary. Let me tell you, you know how you know the Spirit of God is speaking to you? Several different ways. The Bible says that when He has come, He'll reprove. Well, one of the ways you know He's speaking to you is because he reproves you. Thank God for that. You know, there are things that are not even in the Bible There are things that are not even in the Bible that I'm not told to do, that the Spirit of God will speak to me and tell me not to do that. I got a living person inside of me. And he'll say, don't do that. I'll never forget that dear lady in Greece. She got gloriously saved and she thought she was going crazy. And I was teaching on the Holy Ghost one in church, and she just started clapping her hands and laughing out loud. And I said, Miss Anna, what is wrong with you? She said, I thought I was going crazy, but you just explained it. There's a person living inside of me. She said, she hadn't been saved but like a week. And she said, I just going on with the things you know that people do. And she said, something in me was bothered.
Yeah, amen.
And I thought I was going crazy. But she knew God was talking to her now. The Spirit, the Holy Ghost said, I want them to. You know why we don't have more missionaries? We don't have people that are close enough to the Holy Ghost to even know what he's saying to them. Or yielded enough to let his words control. You know, they're having a great time at Antioch. And the Holy Ghost said, yeah, but I want Barnabas and I want Saul and I want you to go. You know what they said? Yes, sir.
Amen.
And if somebody didn't know how to listen to the Holy Ghost, the missionary team would not have been sent. And if a church didn't know how to listen to the Holy Ghost, they wouldn't have sent them.
Yeah.
Just like the Spirit of God telling you to go. Talk to the guy at the hotel. Or maybe your neighbor. Here he tells them to go. Acts 16. He tells them no. Isn't that odd? Look at it. Acts chapter 16. In chapter 13 he tells them to go. And then in chapter 16 the Bible says this. Chapter 16 and verse number 6, we read it. It says, now when they were gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Well, what do you mean? All the world? Asia's part of the world? Because it wasn't time yet. Now, he'll get to Asia in chapter 19 and chapter 20, but he had to listen to the Holy Ghost of when to do it. Well, we're going to Asia. And the Holy Ghost said, no, you're not. You know, I'm shocked at how many Christians won't let the Holy Ghost tell them no. They have their plans. They have things they want to do. Will you let God tell you no tonight? Look at verse number 7. And they were come to Mysia, and they saved to go into Bithynia. And the Spirit suffered them not. He said no again. He'll say go. He'll say no. I think the Spirit of God tells people to go, and I think the Spirit of God deals with God's children and tells them no so many times. And you'll turn into a mission field instead of a missionary if you won't let the Holy Ghost tell you no about some things in your life. You may have a relationship that you want and the Holy Ghost says no. He said, well, there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with Asia. There's nothing wrong with Bithynia except the fact that the Holy Ghost said no. He must have the controlling wheel. And this church is where the rubber meets the road. I believe in missions. Does the Holy Ghost have the controlling interest in our hearts? Whether it's go or whether it's no. You know what? You know why some Christians have no money to give to missions? Because they didn't listen to the Spirit of God when the Spirit of God said, no, you don't need that. No, you don't need to go into debt for that. No, you don't need to extend yourself like that because I've got some other plan for your resources. Guys, come on. If all of us, we can all get so cash strapped and in debt that it don't matter what God wants us to do. We won't be able to do anything but pay our bills. Getting a little quiet right there, but I mean, how can we give to missions if we won't even let God tell us no about spending the next $500 on Amazon. I mean, guys, with my wife, I ought to own part of Amazon. But I'm just saying, will you let God tell you no? Maybe know the way you live, the decisions you make. Guys, I'm convinced. You know what I'm convinced? We as independent Baptists do. We do whatever we want to do. Instead of letting the Holy Ghost control what we do. Spirit of God said no. Spirit of God said no. I can imagine Paul about that time. Well, then where do I go? You know, God is not in a guessing game. He's not in a shell game with our lives. But you know what he is really, really interested in? He's interested in us being totally yielded so he can move the pieces of our lives like he wants to move them. And guys, when we have an agenda, he can't move the pieces. Paul, will you let me move the pieces? I don't know where to go. That's all right. Abraham didn't know where he was going either. But God said, you'll find it when you get there. You need to trust me. As many as are led by the Spirit of God. Amen. It's not me figuring it out. It's letting God lead me. There needs to be that communication, that controlling will of the Holy Ghost. There's a almost never quoted verse in the New Testament for a lot of Bible-believing Christians. It's at the end of 2 Corinthians, the very last verse. He talks about the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost to be with them. Communion. He's not talking about the communion table. He's talking about the communion of the Holy Ghost. That's from the word communication. That's where the word communion comes from. The Bible says that God communed with Abraham. They had fellowship back and forth. You know what God did? You know what God did to Abraham? As they were communing in that chapter, he said, Abraham, I got something I got to tell you. What's that, Lord? There's a whole bunch of sinners over here I'm about to destroy. Is that right, God? I'm going to destroy all of them. Some of them you know over there. You love them. Part of your family. Abraham starts praying. Praying for those souls that he never would have prayed for without the communion. Yeah. Yep. Are you listening to me, church? You know why we're not burdened? You know why we're not praying? You know why our hearts aren't heavy for the souls of men? You know why we don't have the compassion? Because there's not been enough communion there with God, with the Holy Ghost to touch our heart and squeeze our heart. And the missing ingredient, as it were, is God's not filled my heart and touched it enough for me to even be concerned. Because if I was communing with him, I don't know how y'all do the Lord's Supper. You know, we call it communion, but it's not supposed to be a one-way thing. It's supposed to be you talking to God and fellowshipping with God and God fellowshipping with you. And the Bible says that communion of the Holy Ghost, there needs to be some communication. I wonder, church, has there been any communication with you in this, with the Holy Ghost about the matter of missions and about the matter of the gospel to the world? Has there been any communication? Has there been any communion? Oh, what a verse, Philippians chapter 4. Paul the missionary said, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only, just the Philippians. They were the only church that had enough of the Holy Ghost to be giving back and forth to the one that had the heart for the people like God had a heart for the people. I wonder, could you get with the Holy Ghost and say, God, communicate with me. What do I need to give? What do I need to communicate to the world? How do I need to give my life? They first gave their own selves to the Lord. Preacher, why don't we have young people and old people and retired people and all people? Why don't we have all Christians coming to God and say, God, here am I, Lord. Here's my life. Why? Because there's a missing ingredient of the Holy Ghost. When I turned over my life to God, it was the Holy Ghost that was touching my heart and filling my life. Nobody talked me into that. I wasn't overcome with a fancy message. It was the Spirit of God that wooed my heart. And I said, yes! I wonder, has he? He said, preacher, what can I do? It's not about what you can do. It's about you yielding yourself to the controlling will of the Holy Ghost. And making a missionary. And getting it to the Gentiles. And getting it to an Ethiopian. And have not just an old, sorry, dead, dry toast of a message, but a Holy Ghost, powerful message that touches a heart. Not just a life that's lived in a pattern, but a life that's energized with the Holy Ghost. I say it's an overlooked, missing ingredient. And as I go through the world, as I look at all the nations, oh Lord, I want to reach this nation and that nation and help me find another missionary. It's almost like God says, yeah, if there would just be more fullness and yieldedness and surrender to the Spirit of God, a lot of that would take care of itself. You know what I believe? I believe if this whole church was full of the Holy Ghost, all of you, nobody would even have to talk to you about giving or going or witnessing or loving or praying or weeping or having compassion or having the heart that God had, because the Holy Ghost would put it down in there. And maybe instead of talking about all the periphery, maybe we need to get back to the root of the matter. Is I need the touch and fullness of God in my life so I'll know what I ought to be. I'm going to finish with this. He said in Acts chapter 16, verse number 9, a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, the Bible says, immediately. We endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. The last thing I want to leave you with tonight in this missions conference is that when Paul finally knew what the Spirit of God wanted him to do, there was no hesitation. Immediately. He didn't have to pray about it. He didn't have to think about it. He didn't have to reason it out. He didn't have to get his budget out. He didn't have to get the men together and talk it through. Immediately. He endeavored to go assuredly gathered. Now he's got some assurance in his heart. Oh, church, I know there's a lot of doubts in this world and in life, but there are some things that we can be sure of. And I know God's purpose and plan for us. He's put it right there in that book. You don't even have to guess about it. But the hesitation. The hesitation, that's the kicker. We've all heard the stories. Preacher preached the gospel and the sinner was there. And God was dealing with them and they held on and they hesitated. And they left the building and then the Lord seemingly wasn't dealing with their hearts and they forgot about the working of the Spirit in their heart. We've heard all those stories. What about the stories of Christian people that the Spirit speaks to and tries to commune with and touch their heart or reprove them or empower them,
But they hesitate. Do I really want to yield myself to the Spirit of God and yield my members and yield my... Is that what I really want to do? As a young man, as I sat on the left side of the building and the invitation was given, and God spoke to my heart, and I knew I needed to give it all. I think, Brother Bevins, if I would have hesitated, because I was on the football team, and I had friends, and I had things I wanted to do. But when the Holy Ghost dealt with me,